Welcome to the Susan Murphy Milano Show. Time's Up, produced and broadcast on the Zeus Radio Network for Hear Women Talk.
Welcome back, everybody, for another week. Delilah, as always, is joining me from ImaginePublicity.com, and she's also the administrator of Time's Up blog for crime survivors. You know, and every week we have such amazing writers, from Denny Griffin to Sandra Brown, who's going to be with us for the hour today, to people who are affected by crime and surviving that crime. And we're amazed by Heidi Hyatt and Neil Shorey.
Well, there's a wide variety of writers, and they all come from a different perspective, and they're all addressing, you know, the issues of victims' rights from a different perspective, from where they're coming from, missing persons, from the church, from survivors, from all over.
That's right. So it's important that everybody check it out. But we have Dustin. Do we have a drum roll here somewhere? Okay. We have just launched DocumentTheAbuse.com. It is a brand new site, and it is a site for anyone who is working with those traumatized by violence, hospitals, law enforcement, prosecutors, advocates, healthcare professionals, pastors in the churches, which is a big one because they see what's going on. And from behind the pews, they have
it's definitely the place people from every step of a victim's journey need to be trained on the evidentiary abuse affidavit and everything that's within the site. And, you know, you and Sandra both, we got to put it out there that you're available to do these trainings. And people need to get a step up. They need to step up and step out of the box that they've been stuck in for 20
years. Well, you know what, I did a post
years.
The other day on the blog at Murphy Milano's Journal, dying to check the box, which this victim does prior to leaving the relationship. She checks the box and says that the order of protection that she needed and required also was intimate danger, that she was in intimate danger of losing her life. And guess what? 11 months after she checked that damn box, she died on January 5th, 2012. She lost her life, leaving behind a three-month-old baby. And he had just finished a counseling program.
Well, this is what Document the Abuse is all about. This is something that's very new. It's very groundbreaking. And the guest that we have on today is going to tell us just how successfully it works. And
but is it interesting that the guest
trained?
The guest that we're having out today is a therapist herself.
Right.
Somebody that's been in a very volatile, dangerous situation for more than 20 years. Someone who had to literally take every step.
Well, and it's someone who society would look at and say, well, why didn't she know better?
That's right.
When she's going to find out.
That's right. And so joining us for the hour is Sandra Brown. She's with the Institute for Relational Harm and Public Pathology Education. She's also my partner in crime for the DocumentAbuse.com site. She is a therapist, education. She's also the author of Women Who Love Psychopaths. I love that. She's also the author of How to Spot a Dangerous Man and numerous other books. And she is a regular guest to this show. And also instrumental in a lot of the work and trainings that we do across the country. So welcome, Sandra Brown.
Thank you.
And we also have with us Gail, who we're going to call her Gail. Gail just recently, when I say fled, I mean fled, just before Christmas. She flees another state. She is now in a new state, starting over with her life. Gail, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Susan and Sandra.
And let me say that this show got also prompted by the fact that Gail wrote an eloquent letter to me saying that the books and – well, why don't you say why you had written to me, Gail?
Well, I wrote to you because Time's Up was my Bible. I read it first at the end of 2010 and tried to leave. It was almost like a dress rehearsal for me. Then I read it again in 2011 and really implemented everything in there, and I actually did get out.
What do you mean in 2010 it was a dress rehearsal?
The first time I tried to leave, I didn't give up my phone. I got a new phone. I got a new email. I talked with a lawyer. I filed a divorce claim. I got a new credit card in my name. I got a P.O. box. I moved my stuff out day by day. I found boxes on the street, and I put my stuff in boxes and put them in my car and drove away, but I didn't get far enough. I went to a place to stay that was probably within 5 miles of my home. I also took my cell phone with me. Even though I had another cell phone, I took my cell phone with me, and within the hour after I had left, I left him a long note. It was the hour he had called me. And once I heard his voice, and once he told me how I had broken his heart, and once he had said to me that I was throwing away all the many years that we had had together, I was so racked with guilt. I was so sick that within 24 hours, I was freaked out and went right back.
All right, stop right there. Sandra, jump in, please.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this is such a great example about the intensity of attachment, about how hard it can be for women to leave, and that sometimes there are dress rehearsals. The scary part is, of course, then, you know, why we started the Document the Abuse program is because sometimes that dress rehearsal is the finale.
Absolutely.
But
I was afraid of that. I was afraid of going back into the house, and my kids were afraid for me, too, because I didn't know if he was laying in wait for me.
But Gail, here you are. You're a professional. You're a therapist. You're in the health field in the state that you were in for many, many years, and you stayed with this individual. Do you know why?
So many reasons, Susan. I think to begin with, I had no sense of self.
What do you mean by that? You're a therapist, for God's sakes.
I know. Isn't it funny? That gave me my sense of self. I grew up in a family where there was a lot of devaluation. There was a lot of rage. There was a lot of lack of validation of what was really true.
Sandra, does that have something to do with why the women are in these situations, or is that just an afterthought?
No, I think that early childhood and living in families like that, you begin to normalize abnormal behavior. Over probably close to 50% of our clients are in the mental health field. First of all, they end up going in because, you know, they have a lot of empathy, they've lived through this, they understand it, but it doesn't always mean, you know, they're free from that in their own lives.
And so, Gail,
I could see it in everybody else's relationship, but I couldn't see it in my own.
Right.
But exactly. You stayed, Gail, you stayed through the years also because of the children. You stayed because you felt that it was something you were supposed to do.
Yes, and I had a vision in my head growing up of the family that I was going to create. And damn it, I was going to create that family.
But do you think that it was also because your father was a prominent medical, respected, world-renowned individual who, you know, you had something to live up to? Do you think that that had something to do with it?
Definitely. Definitely. And pleasing my father was important to me. And divorce seemed like such a failure to me that I didn't want to put my kids through it, and I just couldn't live with the shame of that. That's what I believed for a long time.
And when did you start to really deciding that, you know, you had to leave? Was it before 2010?
Yeah. I knew I had to leave for a long time, but I wouldn't really let myself think about it. What really was the impetus was that I reconnected with a friend of mine from high school, and she was telling me about her divorce from a man who was probably not violent but extremely unavailable. And
what do you mean by unavailable? Sandra, explain when somebody is unavailable, because that goes part of to the narcissist, that goes part to the psychopath.
Well, emotionally unavailable. And, you know, when we talk about who does that in relationships, you know, a lot of times we're talking about those that have those permanent types of personality disorders and pathology. But I think Gail's situation is very typical about people in the mental health field that we're held to a standard, you know, that other people aren't. So, you know, when the therapists are, you know, wanting to get out, you know, there's a lot of self-blame. How can I have a relationship that doesn't work and then counsel other people? And I think,
that's something he used against me.
Why is it used against you?
I'm sorry. So he used that against me, saying, you think you're such a wonderful therapist, and look at how you treat me, and look at how our relationship is.
Or feeling the need, you know, to somehow fix it so that your own relationship can be a role model, you know, in your own practice. Right. And yet, and I think people in the mental health field, you know, get really reeled in with that and get really stuck in unhealthy relationships by trying to make that work.
But really, Gail is no different than, she just happens to be a therapist, but
right.
we really go towards the general population of the housewife, of the laborer, of anyone really in society who decides or selects someone in a relationship and they don't know why.
Right.
And
I mean, and that's the purpose of the Time's Up book.
Yeah, well, don't you think, just what Sandra said, in the mental health field, we do hold those people to a different standard. And it's mm-hmm. kind of like, well, you have all the knowledge. You should know better. You should know how to fix it.
So,
right. If you can't fix your relationship, don't be telling me about my relationship.
Well, and that's why I so openly talk mm-hmm. about how many times I've changed my underwear in a week, more than you've changed your underwear in a week with my relationships, because you know, we do all make mistakes, and we do move forward from them. But we don't need to live and wallow in them, and that's also what this is right. about. If you're in a situation where you get involved with a relationship and it's not good, you are staying often for the wrong reasons. We're going to come back with Sandra Brown and our wonderful guest, Gail, with us, Delilah, and I will be right back with you, everybody. Stay with us, and the site is DocumentTheAbuse.com.
Hi, I'm Jack Canfield, motivational speaker and co-author of more than 200 Chicken Soup for the Soul titles. And HearWomenTalk.com is all about feeding the soul of every woman through groups, blogs, and some of the best no-holds-barred talk radio the Internet has to offer. Chicken Soup for the Soul has shown our readers that everyone has a great and inspiring story to share. And Hear Women Talk is inspiring women to share the very best of themselves. I'm Jack Canfield for HearWomenTalk.com, part of the Zeus Radio Network.
I'm Vicki Child.
And I'm Carol Baker.
And we're the co-host of Broadsided,
where we take a hard look at the social issues of the day,
challenging popular ideas and everything you thought you knew.
Buckle up, kids. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
Join us every Thursday at 11 Eastern,
10 Central,
and 8 Pacific.
Right here on HearWomenTalk.com.
Part of the Zeus Radio Network.
We're tough.
We're honest.
Prepare to get
broadsided.
We were calling from Pennsylvania, tried many agents, didn't get anybody who seemed to understand our needs. I called Real Estate Hookup, and the first agent they matched us up with found us the perfect home. We are so happy in our new home, our new community. I would definitely recommend Real Estate Hookup.
RealEstateHookup.com. If you're looking for the perfect real estate in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, or on the Grand Strand, we know the realtors specializing in condos, golf villas, river houses, short sales, even boat slips, and we'll hook you up for free. That's right, free. RealEstateHookup.com. We take the guesswork out of which realtors will do the best job for you, and we do it for free. RealEstateHookup.com. Call us at 843-868-1214. That's 843-868-1214. RealEstateHookup.com.
Hi, this is Jessica Dorvaj, host of the Where Is My Guru show, and you are listening to Hear Women Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Time's Up with the Jane Wayne of Justice, Susan Murphy Milano.
Leaving you behind. Just then, I've been wanting.
We are back, everybody, live from the Zeus Radio Sound Network.
Are you making your own sound effects?
I'm making my own sound effects live from the in Myrtle Beach. We are back with Delilah, and we are back with Sandra Brown, author of Women Who Love Psychopaths. And we're also talking with a victim of 30 years who basically, and we'll get to it later in the show, got out with her life. And during the break, as we always do, we come up with epiphanies. First of all, you know, these Tarzans who run through the jungle, my favorite word is dickless wonders. And those individuals, we say to certain people, we hold you to standards, and it's always the victims, but when the hell are we going to hold the perpetrators, the ones who commit these offenses, and these are crimes. And everybody that's listening, I've said this before, laws in this country were passed because people lost their lives. They were not signed with a pen of ink, but with a pen of red blood of all those who were murdered. So the laws across the country, be it a misdemeanor or a felony for being abusive, for hurting, for harming, for stalking, it is against the law, no different than when you drive drunk and put your keys in the car and get in a road and hurt someone. Everybody's affected by this, but yet we hold offenders, batterers, abusers to a different level. We say it's okay. We don't want to believe that an officer who is sworn to protect the sweet streets is abusive. We don't want to believe that a judge who makes decisions behind the bench is abusive. That's why DocumentTheAbuse.com is so important. That is why DocumentTheAbuse.com is there for the trainers, for the victims as well, for Time's Up. And in the book Time's Up, which you can find at Amazon.com, everything that you need to do besides the evidentiary abuse affidavit in Chapter 4 is there. Because, Gail, how important was it for you to learn from the Time's Up book to be 10 steps ahead of the offender?
It was crucial. It was absolutely crucial. The biggest thing for me was your constant hammering about the smell test. And the first time I left, I was so nervous and scared, he sensed it. The second time I left, I learned my lesson, and I was so calm and comfortable that the first thing he said to my children when he called looking for me was, "She seemed fine." So I knew I had passed the smell test.
And it was about that being the best so actress in the world. And in the first chapter of the book, it's about fear. And fear stands for facilitating ending the abusive relationship. And Sandra, when we talk about this and the importance of being the best actress in the world, it also goes to being 10 steps ahead of a psychopath, doesn't it?
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these are the guys that'll do it. And they have a sixth sense. I think that that's part of the pathology, that they are wired to be very in tune with those kinds of subtle emotional, psychological, and even energy shifts in women prior to them leaving.
I think, you know, Tarzan, that's what we think of. A man, you know, in the early movies in the 30s and when that was remade later on with Jeff Bridges, Tarzan was important. Tarzan was strong. And is that how we view people that are in our lives? Is it almost in a sense the Prince Charming that comes to take us away, that will rescue us? Why are we so hung up, Sandra, on that?
Well, the research that we did was to look at elevated temperament traits in women who have gotten into especially the most dangerous of relationships and have the ability to hang in there and stay through that. And there are some very, very elevated temperament traits in these women, high levels of attachment, high levels of tolerance. And while those are great traits to have, they're all also horrendous risk factor.
But she's also going through, you know, an intense emotional, sexual, and hormonal bonding process with this guy.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's intense. It's like hot. It is something that she's never experienced before. It is the attachment that she goes towards. And it's the level of that desire.
Well, exactly. And what we have found is that fear increases that sex hormone of oxytocin.
So what is sex like with a psychopath? Is it all through the house? Is it on the counters? Is it in the bathroom? What is it? Is it different? Is it more intense? Is it the looking, the gazing, the that does he admit like a skunk?
He's a bad boy.
Yeah, I wish they all came marked between the eyes like, you know, Charlie Manson. They'd be a lot easier to spot. Or skunk smell. No. But they are intense to experience. And I think women mistake that intensity for soulmate status mm-hmm. when actually that intensity is often related to the pathology.
So is it a fake bonding?
Giving credit where credit's due. I've had very few women tell me that their psychopaths were bad lovers.
Gail, was your psychopath a bad lover?
The thing that was missing was intimacy, and I didn't know that for a really long time. But right. I felt very, very lonely mm-hmm. and couldn't figure out how I could because, yes, he was a great lover.
So with a psychopath, the intensity of they make you feel like a woman, and they say it to you, but they really don't mean it, do they, Sandra?
No, I mean, by nature of the disorder, they don't have the ability to bond and have emotional intimacy. They can have sex, and they tend to be hypersexual, and they tend to be great lovers.
So then does the media dictate then what we think a relationship is through the childhood books, through other things that we see, like those ridiculous shows? Delilah, what's that show I don't like? The Jersey Shore or the Real Housewives mm-hmm. of Beverly Buffalo, whatever those are. Does that dictate a lot of times what the public's perception, because they weren't?
Well, we're being fed a different reality, and there's too many people out there that actually aspire to live like these reality shows.
But it's not real for relationships, and it can get these individuals killed. Gail, let's go back to you. When you had left in 2010 and you heard his voice, and in the book, Time's Up, I say, do not answer that phone for 5 weeks.
Yes. Yes.
Because that's the time of period, because it's a death. It's a death of that intensity, isn't it?
Yes. And I have had no contact with him since I left 9 weeks ago, and I don't intend to.
No,
I don't think.
And how do you
even
feel?
After 9 weeks, I could do it.
How do you feel?
How do you
right.
feel? Do you feel
I
free?
Feel,
do you feel?
I feel free.
Do you feel like you can breathe?
Yes, for the first time, and for the first time ever, I didn't even know how much fear I had inside of me, and now I'm fearless.
But let's go back. You. He now knows your plan after you decide when you do the dress rehearsal. Okay,
mm-hmm.
He's now watching you very closely. What do and you do to change up your routine so he doesn't detect it?
I didn't do anything different as far as packing my stuff. I didn't take as much as I took the first time, really only clothes and pictures. And all the clothes that I took out of my closet, I replaced with my daughter's clothes. I took them out of her closet and put them in mine. So it looked like my room, my clothes were still full.
But what made you feel more safe this time, more secure in leaving? Because here, he is watching you. He's monitoring you more closely because he's disappointed and angry that you, of all people, left after all these years. And then in leaving, too, you're going to be punished for almost erasing his life.
Right. I think that for the very first time in my life, I didn't do this in my childhood, and I didn't do this in 30 years of marriage, but I told some people. I told 3 girlfriends, and I asked for their help, which I didn't do the first time. And because they were, not only did they believe me, they were just right there for me. And it gave me the strength to go with courage, knowing that they would be there to have my back and get me out. And that really made, it was everything to me. And my kids were ready for me and helping too. So I felt really, I had a community.
Sandra, that's why we did and created DocumentTheAbuse.com, is because we have created a community, haven't we?
Exactly. That's so crucial to recovery. You know, we mm-hmm. heal in community. We don't heal in isolation. Abuse happens in isolation. Whether it's online community or, you know, physical community, that the first step, just like Gail said, is telling someone.
And it's also doing it in the right way, because we see so many of these cases. In, what was it, about a month ago, in New York, she was an investigator. She lost her life over a romantic dinner that went awry. And she said, I'm done with you. I'm leaving. It got her 7 bullets. Mm-hmm. And again, she was trained to know better, and she lost her life. And her husband happened to be a former police investigator with the state of New York. So, you know, in that, that is part of the problem as well. That's why it's so important. Before you announce that the relationship is over, you have mm-hmm. to have the plan. Like you said, Gail, he didn't mm-hmm. know that everything wasn't okay this time, did he?
No. I had it all together. I had every single thing in place. And this time, it seemed like the universe was supporting me, because every time I ran into a question about, should I have a P.O. box, what should I do here, what should I do there, an answer came to me. And I had every duck in a row, and I even, the day before I left, organized all the stuff in the house that I hadn't been able to take because it was too out there and too visible. And I ran through the house, and I practiced taking it, so I could do it in 5 minutes.
And
then I was ready.
Also,
I rehearsed it.
What we need to let people know is I am banking on the fact that your weaving, walking former husband, who you're not divorced with from yet, is listening or will listen to this show. And, sir, if you are listening, please note your wife does have an evidence of abuse affidavit. Your wife has had it notarized and videoed. So if you'd like to go ahead and say that you just lost it or just had a moment of anger, it's not going to work. You will spend the rest of your days behind bars. And it's not worth it because the world now knows. Well, we've not said her name for a reason, but I have no problem doing that at some point. And I do know that you are monitoring and paying attention to what she is or isn't doing. And I do know that you do know that she did get the book Time's Up. So I'm just letting you know, sir, that we have put you on alert. That's what's so important as well. In many of these cases that we've had Delilah on the radio, is that what has saved them is that we've announced to the abusers that she's done the evidentiary abuse affidavit and video, documented it in every case, in cases where some of the guests that we've had should have died.
Well, I think there again, this shows the importance of it is the fact that not only is it empowering to this victim and giving her every tool that she needs to get out safely, it's also a deterrent.
I really see, you know.
Why don't you finish the statement? We're going to come back, Sandra, after break. Okay. Please go to documenttheabuse.com. We're talking with Sandra Brown, author of Women Who Love Psychopaths, and our guest, who is also a therapist, and her name is Gail. Stay with us, everybody. We'll be right back.
All your pictures fade to gray. I turn each one face down till I stop seeing you that way.
I'm Kate Clinton, and I make a living through observational and political humor, so having a voice is my stock and trade. But Here Women Talk is a serious place where women from every background network with other women to find their voice. We have a lot of fun here, too, but there's no place else like Here Women Talk, where no topic is taboo on our diverse radio shows and blog zine. Invite your friends and family to join us for new and exciting changes. I'm Kate Clinton from HearWomenTalk.com, part of the Zeus Radio Network.
Social media is all about the buzz, and now is your chance to build an exciting career from the ground floor with Zeus Media Network. Zeus Media Network, offering the fastest growing social internet platforms in the marketplace, is seeking qualified candidates for local, regional, and national sales positions. The ideal candidate will be a personable, self-starting individual with a passion for helping companies grow. Top performers representing Zeus Media Network are rewarded with a generous, competitive commission structure and unlimited potential. If you possess the fire to succeed at sales and want to work with a company on the cutting edge of technology, then email your resume and contact information to carol@zeusmedianetwork.com. Once again, email your resume and contact info to carol@zeusmedianetwork.com. Zeus Media Network. Hear it. See it. Click it.
In the blockbuster Millennium series books and movies by Stieg Larsson, the main character Lisbeth Salander is both victim and deliverer of justice to a human trafficker. Tune in with Dottie every Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern and play with fire, kick the hornet's nest, and maybe even get a tattoo of a dragon on traffic. Safe for victims, hostile to traffickers. Listen, chat, call, save lives. That's Traffic every Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern on Hear Woman Talk Radio.
Hi, my name is Jesse Jordan with Further Faster Initiatives, and you're listening to Hear Women Talk Radio.
Blazing the trail, the Jane Wayne of justice is circling the courthouses of America, speaking up for those who have been silenced. Susan Murphy Milano declares, time's up. And now, back to Susan Murphy Milano, because there's never too much Susan Murphy Milano.
Thank you, everybody. We are, you know, we're here live in Myrtle Beach, as we are every week, but that doesn't mean that violence and abuse don't happen all over the country. And we bring people this show every week so that they learn, that they save their lives. And so many people, so many listeners that we have recently received mail from since the document, theabuse.com site went up. I am just grateful. It's been amazing.
Testimonials. Really been amazing.
Just like Gail's, who have said that without the books and without some of these shows, they would be dead. And so I appreciate that. And Sandra, during break, we were having our resident expert, as we do. Sometimes they join us silently in the studio, as we have today. We were talking about fair fight, about fair fighting in relationships.
Right.
Is there such a thing?
Yes, with normal people.
Right.
A lot of the psychology books that are relationship-oriented, that are very helpful, even to us, you know, therapists in session apply to those people that have that capacity to grow, develop insight, and change. Who we're talking about today, and in general, often in these situations, are pathological individuals in which pathology by its nature does not gather.
So is fair fight the wrong
is
fair fight the wrong terminology? Because I don't like the word fight, and I don't know that there's fair in anything unbalanced with victimization. So is that the right phraseology to use? There needs to be a better understanding and education with a level playing field in a relationship where two people come together, and yes, you can have disagreements. But there's respect there. I don't see that in most relationships across the country. There is no respect. We throw it out with the garbage every week. When we don't like something, we react to it. We act out of it. And I don't understand these individuals who are allowed to do this. Does society say it's okay we get away with it, Sandra?
Well, I think we have to differentiate between the two. I mean, there are certainly normal people can have arguments and relationships, and like you said, but there is respect. But when it crosses the line into domestic violence, who are we talking about then? You know, most of the time, are there guys, you know, that can have a meltdown in a one-time incident of domestic violence? Yes.
But not to you. Yes, for domestic violence one time, I think that the first time you do that, that you leave, and also that one time can also, we're seeing at record rates it getting these people killed.
Absolutely. You don't know. You don't know. But who we're mostly talking about in these incidences, when it does cross the line in domestic violence, are not people that would benefit from relationship counseling, where we talk about fair fighting.
So is it? Are we feeding a different crop of corn to these people?
Yes.
Who are having children and
yes,
and offspring, and we're, because we are seeing, like I said, people that quote unquote we wouldn't expect to be violent, that we wouldn't expect to take someone's life, from a criminal defense attorney, you know, who murders not just his wife, but he murders his two children with a shotgun after he bludgeons her to death. You know, we're seeing this type of action, reaction. How is it that we can stress to the point of, if Gail didn't leave this relationship, well, let's ask Gail, if you did not leave this relationship, what do you think would have happened to you? Do you know?
I was beaten down so low that I have no. I would have just been.
How many weapons? How many weapons? Because you had told me
many.
Okay, and why would he have all these weapons? Was he an avid hunter? Was he a
no? Not at all. He just had them.
What do you mean he just had them just for pleasure?
Yeah, I mean, he never really even took them out. Occasionally he would take them out and clean them, but he never really took them out and used them in any way, shape, or form.
Would he use them towards anything when he was angry with you?
And we find that in pathology,
no.
That these guys have right. All these weapons. They don't hunt. It's that associational thing with, you know, power.
Mm-hmm. And that was something I wanted to add to what you said, Sandra, about the pathology and on the
let's stop. For those listening, most people don't understand what the hell pathology is. They sound that sounds like something in a morgue. And seriously, so Sandra, explain in layman's terms pathology.
People who are hardwired to not change, grow, or develop insight.
Thank you.
Not all people who have problems have the capacity to change. I know that pushes up against all the Oprah we've had that, you know, everybody can change and grow into their potential. But in mental health, that is not true.
So the dickless wonders is what they are, hardwired in a different way?
And their brain.
Yeah, but we also have women, and we can't discount this either. You know, we saw just before Christmas a woman in Effingham, Illinois, murdered her three children, the father of one of the kids, and then took her own life. I don't think that we can just say, although 98% of grave markers of women who've lost their life to intimate partner violence have happened by the significant other, the relationship that they're in, and we see very few cases of women who kill, but we're seeing them more, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Well, pathology is definitely on the rise. I've been in the field for 25 years, and everybody's talking about it now. Even lay people see this big jump.
Well, look at Housewives the other night on whatever the episode's on Tuesday night, Beverly Hills Housewives, where the one woman, I don't remember her name, she's got a small child, her husband kills himself, takes his own life, suicide. And the one clip they say, and she's got a black eye at this party, I'm sorry, but do you know by saying something to my husband just before I left with my life that you almost cost us our life? So that when she is leaving with her child or trying to get away from the relationship, she says.
Well, see, this too adds to the problem is when things like this in the media has an opportunity. They have a way that they can get the message across to so many millions of people that this is not an okay situation. And what should this person be doing? So they have these opportunities. Rihanna had this opportunity. A lot of people in so-called celebrity status have the opportunity to step out, step up, and speak out properly about this issue, and they don't do it. They back off.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And so we have nobody coming out and talking about it. Like I said, when you drive drunk, you pay the consequence. You're not even allowed to get in your car if you've had a drink, basically. And yet, when somebody hurts an individual, I'm not talking about yelling and screaming. I'm talking about physically assaulting them. That in many cases, both the man and the woman are arrested in some states, some smaller counties, some smaller towns. Mm-hmm. And she's held at a different level as a victim, and then she's also treated as an offender. We don't seem to have any kind of a rule here, a law. We seem to make it acceptable or palatable when it suits us. No one, like you said, comes out. They don't talk about it.
This is how we get desensitized to these things. We think this is how people really live. So if they're living that way on TV, then they must be living that way everywhere.
Or they must like it.
Yeah.
Well, you know that the murder that just happened here in North Carolina in January, you opened the show talking about that. She was probably 10 miles from my house. And what you were talking about with a lot of times the victims not calling in these counties right here in North Carolina, I wonder if she didn't call in because of that. Because when they call in North Carolina, or at least in Western North Carolina, everyone goes to jail.
So you're thinking when Shelby Wilkie of Hendersonville, North Carolina, was alive, mm-hmm. that she tried to call in, that she tried to do this, that she again had a court order protection. They were married.
Sandra, are you saying that because they have the what is it called, where both people get arrested,
mandatory arrest,
yeah. that's keeping victims from calling in?
Absolutely. In this county, I worked at the domestic violence shelter here in our county, and the women said, "I'll never call again."
This just happened the other day.
To be abused. And it's another thing to be abused and go to jail.
The child, the 14-year-old, sent a message to the police, and they wound up arresting both the mother and the father. Mm-hmm. The girl sends a email to the police to come and help because her mother's being horrifically abused. Mm-hmm. And why do both parties get arrested? I mean, mm-hmm. again, so yeah, it's a deterrent. There's a problem, and mm-hmm. they don't want to step forward. And you know. Like I said, Shelby Wilkie did what she needed to do.
Well, you know what? It's making the job of the law enforcement officer that answers that call not easier, but they don't have to think about who is the perpetrator here. And this is where this all came about, correct? Is they couldn't figure out who's the perpetrator.
And that's why
they just arrest them both, and they sort it all out later.
Gail,
our county likes to brag that domestic violence is down in this county, but
domestic denotes a broom, and maybe that's the friggin' problem. Domestic violence denotes a broom and a handkerchief on the head. It is intimate partner violence.
Right.
Gail, though, you know, if you could try to tell someone who's listening right now, because mm-hmm. you know, either we can talk about this all day long, or we can memorialize them like I do on my blog. But how would you think that somebody listening to this right now, what would you like to say to them as far as what the importance of having a plan and getting out would be?
It's the only way to do it.
Why?
There's no other way. First of all, the level of anxiety and fear is huge. I don't care, you know, what level of abuse you've been part of. You already have a huge fear of your abuser.
Why don't you stop right there so that we get people to come back after the commercial. We're with Sandra Brown, Women Who Love Psychopaths. We're with Gail, who's been with us for the hour. Delilah and myself. Everybody stay with us. The site is documenttheabuse.com. We'll be right back, everyone.
I took each one face down, so I stopped seeing you.
I'm Jan Hargrave, author, consultant, and body language expert, otherwise known as the Raging Cajun. As an expert in nonverbal communication, I know how important it is and how it empowers you once you understand it. Here Women Talk is all about empowering women through groups, blogs, videos, and important radio shows like this one. Let's change the world together, one woman at a time, by inviting a friend to join us at www.hearwomentalk.com. Part of the Zeus Radio Network.
Hello, Hear Women Talk fans. Are you ready for a vacation? How about a Carnival cruise? When you're ready to get down or relax and be pampered.
Yes, Mom, let me get your fresh power.
Or escape to a romantic hideaway. Book your next Carnival cruise with Christmas Travel and Tours. Fun, friendly, affordable. Call our friends at Christmas Travel and Tours for your next Carnival cruise at 888-950-5849. That's 888-950-5849. Or on the web at christmastravelandtours.com. That's Christmas Travel and Tours, because it doesn't have to be a holiday to take a holiday.
Carnival. Fun for all for fun.
Ships Registry, the Bahamas and Panama.
Tonight, take an adventure on the Myrtle Beach Ghost Walk. Explore the haunted swamps where alligators and the ghosts from long ago still reside. Stroll across floating walkways beneath the Spanish moss as your pirate guide leads you by lantern and shares 13 spooky tales along the way. The Ghost Walk departs nightly at dusk, only at Barefoot Landing in North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Call 843-361-2700 or visit myrtlebeachghostwalk.com for advance tickets. Myrtle Beach Ghost Walk.
Hi, this is Michelle with La Bellamy Vineyard. You're listening to Hear Women Talk Radio on the Zeus Radio Network.
Susan Murphy Milano, time's up. As Susan proves, there's more to her reputation than a keen mind and a sweet stack of subpoenas. And now, much more Susan Murphy Milano.
All right, before commercial break, Gail, we were talking about the importance of leaving and the importance of why it's so important, and you were going to try to give some kind of words of wisdom. And I mean, don't sugarcoat it either. It's for everybody that's listening, the importance of getting out with your life.
I can't imagine doing it without a plan. I did it twice, both with a plan, but the first time I was too overcome with fear. The second time, the no contact piece was crucial, and telling other people was crucial. Also, leaving the state was crucial. Those were three things that I learned that were absolutely crucial.
But you still have a fight, because this individual that you're married to feels that you are sick right now. You're not in your right mind, and that he's going to fight you because you need to come back to him.
Yes. He is.
But he will this last time, because there won't be a last time with him, he will make you pay for it, won't he?
Yes.
Yeah. You don't have any more chances.
No.
And what everybody that's listening, and they need to understand, and Sandra, you and I speak to this all the time, is that the part of the problem of having an important plan is to not let him understand or smell what's going on, because every one of these women who are dead now, including my mother, did the na-na-na dance. I'm free, I'm leaving you. And Sandra, case after case, when they do that and they sort of throw it in their face, or they are in their view or their vision of the person who they are no longer with, or they are ending the relationship with, we don't hear from them again, do we, Sandra?
Mm-mm.
Because they wind up in the gravesite.
Exactly. And they underestimate pathology. I mean, part of the problem that we have in domestic violence is that there's not enough public pathology education.
Every time you say the word domestic violence, I'm going to charge you $100. And we're going to do something
partner,
with it. So it's intimate
ITV.
Partner. Thank you.
It was your definition of pathology, and listening to you on Susan's show back in October of, I think it was 2009 maybe, or 2010, when you did that whole month of domestic violence, and you talked about pathology in your book. Mm-hmm. That made me understand that this is not something I can fix with a book or a course.
Exactly. And the ability to differentiate that we don't do public pathology education to be able to point out which abusers can change and which can't. I mean, that's risky in and of itself, but that's a big deal, is that we don't know what... you stop a woman on the street and ask her, name the top 10 lethality factors, you know, in a relationship where you're going to get killed.
And Sandra, is there a resistance to the education within law enforcement, military, the legal system, wherever it is that you're trying to take this message on the education of the pathology? What is the resistance and why?
Well, the biggest is that we've been brainwashed with positive psychology.
Well, I think we've been brainwashed on what a relationship is supposed to be. Ozzie and Harriet went off the rerun list a long time ago, so to Leave It to Beaver. And I think that we don't even know what the hell a healthy relationship is or what it's supposed to look like. We think that when somebody comes in the door, that all of a sudden, because they say they love us and they want to spend the rest of our lives with us, we automatically think, oh, you know what? Oh, God, I got one. He loves me. He's giving me this attention. What is wrong with society that says it's okay when somebody shows you attention? This is not, what's that, seven wives or seven brothers? You know that movie in the 50s where Come Take Me, and everybody, they're not too cute, none of them, except for the two main characters who play in the movie, and everybody else is so-so. But the fact that we have these subliminal messages that say, whoever comes your way, he's a catch, or she's a catch. That's wrong.
And with positive, we're inundated with the concepts about positive psychology, that if you think it, you can make it happen. You know, too much Oprah.
Oprah overload.
You just have to put the law of attraction, that the focus of intention, that If he wants to change, he can change. They make pathology.
Well, why does she need to get into it in the first place? Why can't she just go ahead and realize, you know, and say, this is wrong. I need that somebody else will look. I think the bottom line is learn to love yourself enough to begin with.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when you enter these relationships. Where is it at the beginning of every relationship we see these women who have careers, who have lives, who are college age, who then get into somebody who is so pathological, who is so cunning, who is so sweet? Why the hell do we care about what the world thinks about someone who isn't being good to us?
I don't know. My mother, you know, who I learned about with, you know, pathology. She had two, a narcissist and then upgraded to a sociopath. She's, you know, her message to women, bye vibrator and stay home.
Well, bye vibrator? Do we have a sound effect for vibrators, Justin?
Bye vibrator and stay home. Yes. I mean, at some point, yeah.
So is it easier then to just have somebody donate sperm, have a child, and just have sport sex? I said that nicely, actually. Does that work? There's no emotional involvement, and it seems that when a relationship is ending, like in your case, Gail, all, you know, you've removed yourself. The kids are grown. You're now in another state. This piece of garbage that you're still married to. He is now deposing your very ill father to speak to the fact that you or he is not right. That there has to be some other excuse other than what is factual in the relationship for you to be ending the relationship. So you must be crazy.
Right.
And that's what happens, is they think that you've got to be crazy when you've been with them for so long. How could you leave? How could you even think about it? And he's angry. And he's been acting out in different ways, so much so that over Christmas you had to redirect what you were going to do. You didn't have plans in the same place. You had to change up what you were going to do, because so many of you that are listening right now is that you make the mistake. You think that if you move 5 minutes away or another state away, that he's not going to come and find you. Right. Your best move, Gail, was when you took yourself out of the state. And what happened was, and if you're a divorce or family practitioner, lawyer, and I mean no disrespect with this, you are there to orchestrate the lives in the courtroom with the law. What our job is, and what the documentabuse.com is to orchestrate the safety. And when we have a potential victim that we know or we see with the threat, and we say they need to do the evidentiary abuse affidavit, they need to leave a letter or note to this person and then also take it to the police station. It is because in this day and age, besides calling and saying that the person has been abducted, when perhaps that they haven't, or something has happened, perhaps when it hasn't, is that you've got GPS and OnStar in the car. You've got reports that can be made. You will be labeled a missing person, or you will be arrested for stealing a piece of property that you took, which might still be yours. So that's why you have to do this. And it needs to be a protocol, doesn't it, Sandra Brown, in every single family practitioner across the country, to have somebody, when they walk into their office, immediately do the evidentiary abuse affidavit.
Absolutely, or in the ER, or... I mean, I see the day when it's going to be protocol, when even abusers are going to know that, you know, these are done regularly, and I think it's going to be preventive.
It is, because it goes towards the order of protection. Again, before anyone makes an announcement, you must do the evidentiary abuse affidavit. You must put that in place.
And I think that part of doing it, that was very, very, it opened my eyes when I did the process of the evidentiary abuse affidavit, because I had to detail the abuse.
But let's back up here. You only did it after a strong suggestion that I wouldn't speak to you until you did it. And you had moved when you had left the state thinking that you were free and clear, and I said, no, you weren't.
Well, why is that? That's a question I have for Gail, because we've seen this happen several times. Is, you know, the intention is there. The intention of the victim is there to do the EAA, but yet they drag their feet. And Susan has to say, I'm not going to talk to you until you get this done and I get it in the mail. And bingo, there it is.
You know what, Sandra? You know what it was for me was that there's always a part of me that isn't sure that any of it really happened. I've had to have my daughter look me in the eye and say, yeah, Mom, it did. And that, what, when I actually had to write the abuse down on that paper, I realized, oh, my God, I can't believe I lived through all of this. That was stark information for me to look at and not try to pretend after 30 years that none of this happened and it wasn't true. And I had thought that. That's what kept me there for so long, really believing it's not that bad. There's, it hasn't happened too much, and when I actually started to detail it, I was shocked.
Because you're in a toxic situation. You're being kept kind of as a prisoner of war. And
right.
The problem is that when you don't do this and you don't have it in place, that if he survives, like in the case in Hendersonville, North Carolina, Shelby Wilkie, because the person that killed her is alive, he's going to be able to claim certain things. And also that child is going to perhaps go to his family. Maybe that might happen. And in doing the evidentiary abuse affidavit, that is your living will, and it's so important that you do that as well. That's why we have that in place. That's why the book Time's Up is there. That's why the documenttheabuse.com site is there for you to fill that out. And in another, I think, 30 days, we'll be having the app, the live app on phones as well. As well, we will be having the PDF interactive on documenttheabuse.com for people to download, for people to purchase, for people to do and use. Because again, it's way.
And also, you can fill the whole thing on your computer, on your cell phone. That was another thing that sort of stopped me, was how am I going to find a camera to film this? But we just used a cell phone and it worked perfectly.
And then we did a Dropbox.com, and I got the video. And again, it's important to do it because you're still not out of the woods, Gail.
No.
And he is angry enough now. He's doing something to now get closer to you, whether he facilitates this or not. He's going to make you come to where he is, because that's where the divorce has been filed for. He's going to try to get you in his sights, not to take you back, but to probably kill you.
Maybe, yeah.
And it's by nature of the elevated temperament traits that this group of women have. Just like Gail said, you know, until she did the EAA, until she wrote that down, they tend to underestimate pathology.
Well, you wouldn't, it's a prescription. You wouldn't go to the doctor if you continue to have bad bronchitis. You need it to stop because it's going to affect everything that you're doing. Time's Up is the prescription.
Right.
It's not a diagnosis. It is a prescription. So why wouldn't you immediately do something? Do we not want to take something that makes us feel better?
Well, you know, everybody's maybe tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow I'll feel better tomorrow.
Right.
Well,
maybe
we're out of time for maybe tomorrow. I want to thank our guest, Sandra Brown, author of Women Who Love Psychopaths, and also Gail, thank you for joining us. If you have questions, you know, you can reach us at murphymilano@gmail.com or at timesupforjustice@gmail.com. Every week we come on here, we try to educate, we try to heighten what you do know, and we are accessible. But the documenttheabuse.com site is now our gift to you. So please, if you're a prosecutor, as far as information, as far as detailing what's going on, please, or go to Amazon.com and get the book Time's Up. Again, Sandra's book is Women Who Love Psychopaths, and we look forward to hearing and seeing you all next week. Everybody, stay safe. God bless from the Zeus Radio Networks. We'll be back next week.
I've been watching all your pictures fade to gray. I took each one face down till I stopped seeing you that way. Now look around and you're not there. I love that you're good.